I guess there's always been that version of the game, if you had only one wish, what would it be? The modern version of it is, if you won the lottery today, what would you spend it on? And there's a story, a salutary story, that says it won't always go well for you. There was a guy in 1997 who was working as a hospital porter, a Scottish guy, and he won £10 million on the lottery. He gave £3 million to his family. He gave £750,000 to his ex-wife. He splashed out on cars, holidays, had a £200,000 wedding to his second wife. However, it was his £4 million investment in Livingston Football Club that really took him down the hill. The club went into administration, and as he had used his wealth to guarantee the club's loans, he lost a lot of his money guaranteeing the loans and fighting the court cases afterwards. Getting what you've always dreamed of doesn't always work out for the best. In Solomon's case, he had this vision where God said to him, "What do you want?" But actually, before that, we have the opening verses of 1 Kings chapter 3, which commentators, surprisingly enough, are divided about. Sometimes Solomon's life is presented as two eras. There was good Solomon, whenever he was getting everything right, and then there was daft Solomon, whenever everything went to pieces. And in a sense, the opening verses of this chapter give a mixture of both of those things. We're told both that Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married his daughter. Now remember, a couple of weeks ago, last week, we noticed that actually marriages were often a way of making political alliances. And at that time, there would still have been suspicion between Israel and Egypt. So as Solomon entered into this marriage, was it a strategic marriage? Was he saying, "I'm kind of willing to sell out"? So the author is at least planting a seed of doubt in our mind about how it's all going to turn out for Solomon. And then we read also that he continued to allow worship at the high places. That was basically, to use a slightly technical term, syncretistic worship. In other words, a kind of mixed worship of all sorts of gods and using it to worship Yahweh, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And yet we're also told that Solomon loved the Lord the way his father David had. And so there we have a mixed report of Solomon. And actually, in a sense, that's a realistic assessment of any Bible character, of any of us who are seeking to follow the Lord. There are areas of our lives that we get right, and there are areas of our lives that we need to work at. And the secret is knowing that we need to work at those areas rather than giving in to them. Later on, we will see that in some ways, Solomon did give in to those areas. But at this point, he was loving the Lord. And isn't it amazing to see the generosity of God? Because Solomon went and worshipped at the high places, offered thousands of sacrifices. And we would look at that and say, "Solomon, you shouldn't have done that. God wanted you to build a temple, and he would go on to build a temple, and God certainly didn't want to be worshipped in this way." And yet God appeared to him. Yet again, we see a mark of God's generosity and grace. God doesn't wait until we get it all right and say, "Right, whenever you pray, you have to have everything sorted out. And I won't have a relationship with you until you've got everything right in your life." God's grace says, "Of course, I want you to follow me faithfully. Of course, I want you to be obedient to me. But God is generous. And God doesn't say, and I withhold on my blessing until that happens. Rather, he appears to Solomon. And he says to Solomon, what do you want? You have one wish. What do you want? What can I do for you that will make you happy? Perhaps not. Make you have what you need. Because you see, God doesn't always give us what we think we want. He gives us what he knows that we need. And so Solomon asked the Lord, and he asked for wisdom. But as he did so, before he did that, it's interesting to look at Solomon's prayer. Solomon's prayer doesn't start off, yep, Lord, thanks very much, just give me. But rather, Solomon's prayer starts off with, I remember how you were with my father David, and I want the same relationship with you as my father David had, perhaps even a better relationship. Whenever we're praying, whenever we are communicating with God, a good place to start is always thankfulness for what has gone before. Lord, thank you for 150 years of Crossreach, and on that basis, we can trust you for what's to come next in the life of that organization. Or Lord, thank you for what you did for me last week, last year. And on that basis, I dare to ask you for this thing, for this week, for this month. Lord, thank you for the faithfulness you showed to the generations who went before us. And because you were faithful to them, we'll trust you to be faithful to us. So when we pray, it's always a helpful basis for our confidence in coming to prayer to say, look what you've done in the past, Lord. Thank you for what you've done in the past. Will you do it again? Will you do it for me? Will you repeat for me what you've done for generations before? And then Solomon asks for this gift. And it's interesting the way Solomon asks for it. He doesn't say, give me wisdom. But there's a sense of humility in him. Lord, look at all these people. I'm supposed to be king over all of these people. How on earth can I manage such a big job? And he comes in humility, and his request actually is not for a gift for himself, not give me this good stuff, but rather give me something that will make me a blessing to the people. Give me something that will make me able to fulfill my calling. Give me something that will make me able to be the person that you've set me out to be. Because Solomon knew that he was king because God wanted him to be king. And so when he prayed for wisdom, when he prayed for the ability to administer justice, he wasn't just saying, so that I'm okay. But he was saying, so that all the people that I rule are okay. I need this gift, not for my sake, but for the sake of others. God's generosity is not so that we can simply feel good, but God's generosity is so that we can be a blessing to the people round about us, so that we can make a difference in the places that God has put us, so that people can be blessed through us because they see God's generosity in us. Solomon asked for his gift, but as he did so, he asked for his gift for the good of the people. And then we came to the example, an example which in many ways, as we said, seems slightly grotesque. How on earth will you judge who the baby belongs to? And Solomon had that heavenly insight. That's what's being made very clear here. The fact that this comes straight after Solomon's encounter with God. We're being told this is how Solomon exercised his wisdom. And it's interesting that he exercised his wisdom for two people who would have been regarded as the least. Two prostitutes came with a dead baby and a living baby. People who wouldn't really have mattered in that world. People who, how dare they come before the king? And yet somehow they were allowed before the king. Not only that, but the king used God's gift to bless the least. Justice was done. Justice for those who would have been at the bottom of the pile. And so God gives us gifts for ourselves, but for others. God's generosity spills out not just to Solomon, but to the bottom of the heap, as it were. And so here we see Solomon being invited to ask, and then Solomon being a predecessor, as it were, or a living example of what Jesus meant when he said, "Ask, and it shall be given you, and all these things shall be added unto you." Because Solomon asked for wisdom, and God said, "Yep, good call, Solomon. And because you've asked wisely, because you've asked humbly, I will give you all of these other gifts." See, this is not a passage which tells us just be good and God will give you lots of money. But rather, this is a passage that says if you seek a right relationship with God, he will bless you in the way that he sees fit, and sometimes way and above the ways in which you could have imagined. For Solomon, that was wealth. For many people, that will not be the case. As we prayed for persecuted Christians, try telling some of them that God hasn't answered their prayers because they're stuck in a prison cell rather than flying around in a private jet. God gives us what we need and beyond. Tonight, we'll see a film about Christians from North Korea. And last Sunday evening, we were thinking about the lesson of Christians from North Korea. And one of the things that they testified was that actually God blessed them. God blessed them. These are people who are in prison. So God gives us what he knows that we need. That was wealth for Solomon. For our brothers and sisters in North Korea, is that ability to see the blessing where, with our comfortable Western lifestyle, we think, where is the blessing in that? And so God gives Solomon wisdom, which he exercised for the least. What is wisdom? Well, here's one definition from Tim Keller. He says, "Knowledge is not the same thing as wisdom. Knowledge is data and facts, but wisdom is knowing what is the good and right way to live. Wisdom is a kind of understanding about the nature of reality that science cannot possibly give you." Not the same of wisdom, but knowing what is the good. Not the same as knowledge, sorry, but knowing what is the good and right way to live. In Proverbs, we read, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom," and that's saying exactly the same thing. Wisdom is about having a right relationship with God. It's saying to God, teach me how to live as you have made me to live. Teach me how to live in obedience to you, in right relationship with you. Teach me how to live. And then because the people saw Solomon's wisdom, just at the end of the chapter, we're told, when the king, when all Israel heard the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe because they saw that he had wisdom from God to administer justice. In other words, yes, they looked at Solomon and saw, wow, how did he think of that? But then they realized the reason that he thought of that was because God had equipped him to think like that. And so God gave Solomon what he knew he needed, blessed him above and beyond that, gave him the capacity to live in right relationship with him, and because of the example of wisdom lived out by Solomon, all the people looked, all the people saw and said, wow, this guy has got something, but he's got it from God. We heard earlier in the service again about the distinctive of offering something in the name of Jesus. People see something different. And that's what the people saw in Solomon. They saw, this is a God-given gift. And because of that, God was glorified. How do we pray? Do we pray in faith because God has answered our prayers in the past, or because God has answered for the generations before? Do we pray unselfishly, saying, I want to be a blessing to those round about me? Do we pray realistically? Because we come to a generous God who says, I know what you need. I want to give you what you need, but I want you to acknowledge what you need. And I want to give you things that you didn't even know that you needed. Because that's the kind of generous, gracious, loving God that we come to. And above all, what we need is that discernment to live in right relationship with Him. To understand the nature of reality. To know what is the good and right way to live through Jesus. In the New Testament, we read that actually often the world will see and look on at what we regard as the ultimate wisdom, the cross of Jesus, as foolishness. But it is the wisdom of God. So let's be careful not to confuse knowledge and approval and all of these things with godly wisdom given so that we can live as He wants us to live for His glory and for the good of others. Let's pray together. Lord our God, the only wise God, we come before you and ask that you will give us discernment, that we will live as you have called us to live, that we will be who you have called us to be, and that as we do so, we will do it for the sake of others. In the name of Jesus, amen.